Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine D. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, August 12, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in the doctor's opinion on page XXVIII. In the fourth paragraph. We're only going to read four sentences today and we'll finish the rest up tomorrow. This paragraph is that important. We'll start with paragraph four, men and women drink, and read through four sentences ending with, they see others taking with impunity. Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 steps, Sharon W. for the 12 traditions, Amy K., Robin P., and Marilyn T. Wendy B. will greet newcomers and get phone numbers from available sponsors at the end of the meeting, and Leslie M. will close us out with some important announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for August 11th is 15137. That's 15,137. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, August 12th is 15145. That's 15,145. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is so good that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Rhonda R., recovered compulsive overeater from Atlanta in Memphis today. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service today.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. And I will now ask Sharon W. to please read the 12 traditions. star one to
thank
unmute.
You. Sure. I'm here. Yes. Thank you. Sharon W., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership it is the desire to stop compulsive eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sharon W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 keys, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the Doctor's Opinion on page XXVIII, starting out with the last paragraph, and I'm going to ask Amy Kay to please read for us.
Good morning. It's Amy Kay here. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks which they see others taking with impunity. Well, there's so much here. So I do like the effect produced by my food, which is that I get a momentary release from whatever it is that I'm needing to escape. And, you know, sometimes I'm feeling happy when I pick up food. Why would I want to escape feeling happy? Because it's just what I do. And what's injurious is that once I pick up that food and I have that euphoric feeling for a moment, I'm not like other people where they say, oh, that was yummy. Now let me move on. whatever normal eaters do. I am in this state of great sadness when the food is done because I just want more. I need to actually be in the process of eating it. That's the extent to which the disease has me by the neck, in order to feel that feeling. So rather than feeling a release and a sense of satisfaction, I feel a sense of mourning and sadness, just trying to figure out when and where and how to get more. And it's an all-consuming quest that, yeah, I mean, I could describe some of the circumstances of my life when I'm in that state, but it is definitely all-consuming, no pun intended. And then I do get resentful because I see other people eating and not having these same kinds of consequences, having a totally different sort of experience and reaction. And what is triggered in me by picking up my binge foods is that I've heard it referred to as the automatic elbow. And I can bring myself to that experience of just eating in an automatic state, not wanting to, but not being able to stop that automatic elbow. So I have a lot of gratitude today for the psychic change that we're going to be talking about in the future that has released me from that need to pick up again and try it again. I will say that I even remember having a sponsor years ago who,
gentle reminder.
You know, thank you. As I struggled, suggested that I have a frozen yogurt once a week. And she's a dear friend, but I don't go to her for advice about food. So thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much, Amy Kay. Thanks for getting us started. Just a gentle reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on this first four sentences of the fourth paragraph on XVIII, please give me your name.
Lisa G.
L.
Santa
A.
I heard
Santa
H. Someone L and someone E. I got you, Santa H.
Kara
L. That's right. Okay. I
Debbie.
KB. Oh, this Tony is a favorite paragraph. There was somebody with the last initial E. Who was that?
Debbie.
I'm sorry. Who was that with the last initial E?
Deb E.
Oh, Deb E. Thank you so much. And I got a lot of. I hear a lot of names. I have Lisa G, Kara L, Santa H, Dev E, Sherry K B, and I have room for one more on this lineup.
Danielle W.
I love the enthusiasm, but I didn't get a single name. But I heard a W. Who's the last?
Sharon W.
Sharon. Okay. Thank you so much. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll have time for others to share after Lisa G, Kara L, Santa H, Deb E, Sherry KB, and Sharon W. So if you are not Lisa G, would you please press star 1 to mute your phone? And Lisa G, please go ahead and share.
Good morning, Elaine. May I be heard?
Yes, we hear you just fine. Thank you.
Great. This is Lisa G., compulsive overeater from Texas. Yeah, the ease and comfort of that bite. I remember pacing around in the kitchen at 11 o'clock at night, just saying to myself, oh, I need something, I need something, I need something. And just feeling really wound up while the rest of my family was asleep, and finally getting whatever. It really didn't matter what it was. But it was best if I had to chew it a lot. And once I took that first bite, I would always just, this sigh of relief, like finally I feel better. And I didn't know what I needed to feel better from. I had no idea. And but eventually that ease and comfort turned into a horrible nightmare. And I've been reading Step One in the 12 and 12 a lot, and the whole thought of being able to control your eating, control my eating somehow, to be able to go back to that someday so that I can experience food like I want to experience food. Those days are long gone. Something happened to me, whether it was from the day I was born or in my 30s when I started putting on weight, I don't know. But what I do know is whatever I was trying to get to make myself feel better, that ease and comfort from food, it only worked while I was chewing that food. And then the minute I stopped chewing it and swallowed that last bite, I hated myself. And I swore to myself I wouldn't do it again tomorrow. God, please help me not do it again tomorrow. Please help me. And then I did it again tomorrow for years and years until I gained like 90 pounds and I was in self-loathing and, just the myriad of hideous feelings about myself. So I totally get it, and I've accepted the fact that I'll never be able to control my eating, that I have to stay on an abstinent food plan and weigh and measure my food and be accountable. Because when I don't have those things, I just slip back. It's just my default mechanism. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa G. Okay, Kara L., you are up next, and you're going to be followed by Santa H. Please go ahead.
Good morning, my fellows. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I was like, I gotta share today. Let me make sure I don't share 3 days before. This is a paragraph that changed my life. And when I first read it, I said, what do you mean? My alcoholic life seems my only normal one. And the closer I got to my higher power, the more I saw that I have this view. I call it my alcoholic lens. And I view the world from my alcoholic life. And it's such a pinprick of what the world is. And the closer I got to my higher power, I realized that my higher power views the world with abundance and sees everything. And I could not differentiate the true from the false. I'm chasing that elusiveness of my alcoholic life. And today I realized that when I walk into a situation, whether it's food, emotional sobriety, or whatnot, I know today that my immediate reaction is what I see from my alcoholic normal, what I think is a normal life, and that I must pause and I must ask my higher power for intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, realizing that I'm probably not the best judge of the situation, because I have a very slanted view of the situation, because I'm coming from my alcoholic lens. And it was such freedom. I just want to say it's such freedom today to know that I have a connection with something greater that will guide me through that. Know that when I walk into things, all I have to do is ask for help and it will be provided, because I believe that God is abundant. and that God will provide everything that I need when I take the time to connect and ask. I often have this little joke that I think that my higher power works a great Al-Anon program and will not give me an opinion unless I ask. And so it's up to me to keep that pathway clear. It's up to me to continually enlarge my spiritual life. It's up to me to work with others because that gets me out of my alcoholic normal life. And today I am ever so grateful. Thank you for everybody that's done service this morning. And my fellows, I adore you all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. All right, Santa H., you are up next, and you're followed by Deb E.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater living in a solution one day at a time, calling in from New Jersey. This is just a great paragraph, and I'm so happy that we're breaking it down into a section. A lot of this I didn't know until I came into the program. I didn't know that I was eating for the effect. On a conscious level, I think subconsciously I did, but it did make me feel better. And it also got me through some hard times. It kept me alive. And I'm grateful for it, but as a result of it, I gained an extra 130 pounds. That was the gift I got from eating excessively. And in my culture, food was love. And I always equated food with love. So when someone would give me something to eat or someone would bake something for me, living in the South, especially, it wasn't in itself to say no. And I wanted to be a part. I wanted to be included, and I wanted to be normal. I wanted to appear that I was normal. And so what happens is that when I eat those substances and I notice that I'm becoming restless, irritable, discontent and wanting more and more of it, in order to have that effect, to keep carrying that effect, it only stays for 6 seconds. I have to keep eating more and more in order to keep chasing that effect that I had. That it caused me to have terrible mood swings and my personality would just change. And so that would lead me into going into isolation because I didn't want to offend anyone or hurt anyone. So not only did I have that, but then I had to deal with the isolation, which made more time for me to eat more. And so after a while, even though I admit that it was injurious, I saw the weight going up, it still didn't stop me because I didn't know what the solution was back then. But, you know, after a period of time, I couldn't differentiate the truth from the false. It was normal for me. I just said I accept myself being 256 pounds, and this is just the way life is going to be for me from now on. And because I tried many ways to lose weight, never a diet, but, you know, try eating in moderation, never worked for me. But that was where I was back then, you know, and, you know, but it did bring back that ease and comfort, you know, and which other people ate with impunity. And I thought that I was the same. I wanted so badly to just be normal. When at that time, I didn't know I wasn't normal. I have a disease. I have a disease just like if I would have had cancer. And I had to come to grips with accepting that I have a disease that needs to be treated. It needs to be treated with the spiritual solution. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Santa H. Okay, Deb E., you are up next, and you will be followed by Sherry KB. Please go ahead, Deb.
Good morning, everyone. This is Deb E., recovered in Southern California. And, you know, this is one of those passages that over time has meant different things to me. I've been neutral around the food for over 18 years now. But what I've learned over the years is that my work does not end with the food not calling to me anymore. There's so many deeper levels to go into if I really want recovery. And when I used to read this paragraph, this first sentence, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol, I didn't think it applied to me. I imagined it was only talking about this alcoholic who would take a drink to kind of loosen up, to be the life of the party. And I thought, well, that's not me at all. And so I just kind of gloss over it a little bit. And then I would understand it as, you know, oh yeah, I can relate because I like those first few bites, the binge, that like release, that like, you know, entering into oblivion. But as I've gone deeper, and also that intense anticipation, I would get so excited in the anticipation of a binge. But what I've come to understand now is that the effect I like is not this like loosening up or feeling freer or being able to talk more easily. The effect I'm looking for is to just escape, completely escape anything that's uncomfortable. And those discomforts can be something really basic or something like deep emotional, something deep emotions. And this part, they cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. When I came into OA, I thought honesty meant, you know, nickel and dime honesty. And I thought I was so honest because I would always, you know, give people like 3 pennies back if they, you know, if they didn't give me the correct change back. And then I got to another level of honesty, which was about my food and how I was eating. And then it kept getting deeper. And in the last couple of years, I've gotten to the deepest work I have in program. And I've understood that I was so dishonest that I didn't even know I was lying. You know, and that's what I hear when I read this today. They couldn't differentiate the true from the false. I couldn't anymore. I believed things so, so wholeheartedly that I was so sure that it was the truth. And I don't know if that's too vague for people to understand, but I've understood now what a deep, deep level of dishonesty I got to because I didn't want to look too at it because I was so... this pattern of escape and escaping emotions and not wanting to deal with things was so
simple reminder.
Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Deb E. Sherry KB, you are up next, and then we'll have Sharon W. and take up another lineup for the first four sentences of the fourth paragraph on page XXVII, starting with men and women drink and ending with, they see others taking with impunity. So please go ahead and share with us, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and Team Wednesday. I'm just going to dive right in here because, you know, this is one of my... one of the favorite paragraphs in the doctor's opinion for me, because this is all about identifying in, because my disease always wants to identify out, and this describes me to a T. So that's why it's really important for me to use the word compulsive overeater and binges and so forth of how I can identify in, because my disease, you know, the minute it reads about alcohol, oh, that's not about me. And the truth is, this is all about me. This describes me to a T. And I just, you know, the word elusive means, you know, it actually means hard to understand, hard to define, hard to grasp, hard to pin down. You know, it's hard to explain that I get a hit off of food, off of excess food, off of quantities, off of flour and sugar, and how it gives me a sense of ease and comfort, which sounds pretty insane when you think about it. And when I'm restless, irritable, discontent, and, you know, I was so scared of feelings that I would pop food in my mouth immediately so I wouldn't have to feel anything, except for what I didn't realize, I was numbing out a lot of the other feelings too. And underneath those feelings, though, really I was trying to also get rid of fear, doubt, and insecurity. But I didn't know that, because this is describing the mental obsession and the physical allergy of the body, because once I ingest these binge foods, I can't stop. I don't know how to stop. And I'm always looking for ease and comfort. And, you know, it tells me that here I am, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I can't tell the truth from the false because I like this hit, the effect, which is really the, you know, calming me down. Whereas, and then with the physical allergy body, when I pick it up, I don't know when I'm going to stop. So it's describing the mental obsession and not only the mental obsession, the mental twist, the mental blank spot, and the allergy. And so I'm a true compulsive overeater. I have both. But, you know, where I now find ease and comfort is in the steps and with my higher power. And I'm telling you, it lasts so much longer than the food ever did, and what it took me to and how bad I felt and how it separated me from my family and my friends, because I was addicted to the food. And I would rather have been around the food than be around them, which is pretty sad. And I didn't realize that other people, normal people can eat with impunity. I can't. I can't do that. I just can't. And my disease would like for me to believe that I can, but I can't. And without God, I can't do any of this. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. Okay, Sharon W.,
Hi,
you are up
Yetta.
Next.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tommy,
hi.
Can I go after her?
Hi.
We have Sharon W. will share, and then we'll take another lineup. Thank you.
Hi,
ahead, Sharon.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Sharon W., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. This is my first share after months and months and months of listening to these phone calls, but this paragraph was when I went through started the book with my sponsor. She had me write down, you know, wherever I saw myself. And when I got to this paragraph, I literally broke down crying because it was me. I mean, just like people that have just spoken on the line before me, they are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience. I think subconsciously I must have known that I was eating for comfort, and in other programs and with paid coaches that I'd had, they tell you, well, you need to do the work. Well, what was the work? It wasn't clear until this program what the work was to get out of this restless, irritable, and discontented state that I was in, and it works. It works like a dream. And growing up, there was a group of my girlfriends, which I'm still very, very close to. There are five of us, and we would always go out for dinner, which for them was drinks and for me was food. And I couldn't figure out why none of them were hungry and why they could have a conversation and not care about the food on the table. And when they did eat, it didn't affect them in any way, shape, or form. And honestly, they're all grateful that I've found OA. I've shared it with them because now when I'm with them, I'm with them, and not thinking about the food. Same with family, with whoever I'm with. But that feeling of sitting with your best friends and feeling so irritable and discontent because you're eating and they're not, and why can't you stop? For me, it was even worse than the binging at home, because it was clear and you knew everybody was kind of wondering, you know, what was going on. Again, I'm this paragraph just is the paragraph for me in this chapter that screams. And also, I feel thank you, God, for having me go through this book this way.
Gentle reminder
to really understand why this happens. Anyway, thank you so much. I hope I didn't ramble, and with that, I'll pass.
Not at all, Sharon. Thank you very much. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I have Hannah Yetta at the top of the list here, but who else would like to share?
Kathy C.
I'm sorry, I didn't get those names came
Kathy
in together.
Kathy C.
Kathy C. Yes.
Colleen
okay.
S.
Colleen S.
Eden.
Laura
Eden.
R. I heard a Eden or
Eden.
Eden
C. Reba
Eden.
G.
Eden C. Reba
Maddie
G. And we may have time for Patty C. We'll see. Okay. Okay, so I've got Hanayeta, and you can give me the first initial of your last name when you share. Kathy C., Carleen S., Eden C., Reba G., and Patty D. Wish we had time just to keep on going and hear all of you, but we don't. So, Hanayeta, you're up first, and you'll be followed by Kathy C. Please go ahead. Hanayeta? Hanayeta? Star one to mute. Okay. Well, I don't hear her, so I'm going to ask Kathy C to step in, and we'll try again.
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Oh, here she is.
Hanayeta R. R.
Thank,
my last name
thank
is
you.
R. Okay. Okay. So, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I live in recovery one day at a time. I also just am so moved by this paragraph. I don't know if that I've ever shared on this meeting, but maybe long time ago. So I guess I just wanted to say that everything
I'm sorry, Hanayeta, we're not hearing you. Star one to unmute. Hanayeta?
My phone, I'm sorry, my phone keeps muting. I mean, I'm not touching anything, and it keeps, I guess, muting on me.
I've
hear
heard
me
that
now?
Problem before, yeah. Well, please continue.
Okay, well, I'll just keep it really short and just say that I'm glad that I'm here, and I'm glad that we all have someone.
Well, I am not sure what is going on with Hanayeta, but I'm going to ask Kathy C. to go ahead now, and Hanayeta, maybe you can call back in. That would be helpful. Thanks. Please go ahead,
Hi, this is Kathy C. I am a grateful compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. So this paragraph here, it seems like we're talking about the mind, you know, talking to us before we take that bite. We haven't yet succumbed to the desire, right? So for me, it's the effect. I'm looking for that again, that sensation, that relief, that change of emotion. Even though in the past it was injurious, this time it seems that it's going to work. It's going to be okay. And I can't tell the difference if it's true or false. But I'm going to take that chance because there's nothing else I know of what will work. This has been going on for so long, it's my only normal one. This is how I process information, feelings, life. This is my go-to. This is my action. This is the action. This is what I do. This is how it is. It always plans out somehow. It comes out into food. Should I eat? Shouldn't I eat? When? How much? All that. So basically, my nature is that I'm restless, irritable, and discontented. Right? Until I can experience a sense of ease and comfort. Yeah, because who wants to live with this ease and uncomfortableness? Because I don't know, again, how to process anything in my mind. So, again, I go back to what I wished could probably work. I just need a little bit. It calms me down. Whatever it does, you know, true or false, at that moment I don't see it, I'm going to have to do it. I have no control. I've lost the ability to control, and I've lost the ability to remember. My mind will not remember the pain, the suffering, the last, you know, the most previous or the firm resolution I did maybe, you know, a month ago, a week. How about an hour ago? This is going to happen over and over again. This is the problem of the mind, right? Because I haven't taken it yet in the body with the craving. Then I'm done. Then I'm really screwed, like it says, then the phenomenon of craving develops. But this is happening before I ingest the food, right? So what's going to help me with this? Well, we're going to find out, because I also have a problem of the will, right? Where am I? Where's this power? Where am I centered? And I'm just stuck between the body and the mind, the body and the mind. The mind is used to a certain way, and then the body reacts. You know, the mind might say, just one. I just want a little bit. But the body then takes over, and then I'm in a binge, and then I'm trying to fix this again. Then I become obsessed with everything. Again, restless, irritable, discontent. It's a crazy cycle. So I have to work on my will, because there is a will there, a problem of the will, which is, you know, the spiritual malady. This is why we have to do the steps. Because if I just work on the physical part and the mind, it won't work, because I can't. I'm powerless.
Gentle reminder.
And with that, I pass. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Kathy C. Okay, Colleen S., you're up next, and then I'm going to see if Hanayeta can try again after you, Colleen S. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Colleen S. from North Dakota. I read this paragraph, and I see that I eat my sweets for the sensation, but, you know, the sensation passes, and I continue to crave, and it just totally messes me up, because I don't want any supper, I don't want any regular food, and my obsession is so strong. So what I see has been working for me, and I say I'm not a normal eater, and I'm okay with that. I'm not a normal eater, and that's okay, because that has relieved me of this, you know, this stomach ache and this sleepless nights, and I'm just so thankful to be part of this. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much. Colleen S. I'm going to try Hanayeta R. again. Hanayeta, are you available to share? Oh, fabulous.
I'm here.
Okay, great. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me now okay?
Yes, I hear you just fine. Please
okay,
go ahead.
Thank you. I was really just going to say that we, sorry, I lost where I was, but I'm just grateful that I have a big book. And that I can look at it and relate to it so much, no matter what it is. And as always, you know, the first bite is the only thing I'm really powerless over, the first bite, because one is too many and 1,000 would never be enough. And my first bite is what I have to not do. And so I'm grateful that I, you know, have a program, and I do work 10, 11, and 12, and I have a sponsor, and I make phone calls, and I go to meetings, and I do all of these things because I have to stay, you know, we go through and through and through and through the big book over and over and over, and people go, well, why? Why do you do that? And it was like, well, you know, we do the same thing with our Torah, you know, every year we read it over and over and over, same thing, but I never get the same thing out of it, ever, whether it's my Torah or my big book. It's always something a little different. So I'm going to pass with that and say thank you for calling on me again. And I appreciate the group. And thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Hanayeta R. And okay, so we do have time for Eden C followed by Reva G. But Patty D, I don't think we're going to have time for you. I'm so sorry. Eden C, please go ahead. Star 1 to unmute.
This is Eden. I'm compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi. Wow, what a good paragraph. You know, I've read this before, but sometimes it just really jumps out. Every line. The sensation is so elusive that while we admit that it's injurious, we cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. They are restless, irritable, and discontented.
I have that underlined every time. That just jumps out at me. I have a life malady. I came to OA for help with the food, but it's really in my mind. So even if I'm not obsessing about the food, my mind will find something else to obsess about. And, you know, it's only through God and the big book and my, you know, help with my sponsor and the fellowship that I even really have a chance of not being restless, irritable, and discontented. And then the part about others taking with impunity. I mean, for years before coming to OA, and even now still when I see people, whatever, pigging out on something, it's just like, well, before OA, like, how can they do that and not act insane or not gain weight? Like, I just... And now, I guess, if I am thinking about that, it's just like more like a, wow, that's interesting. Not really a jealousy anymore, but just like, wow, that must be interesting to be able to do that. Impunity. And then the phenomenon of cravings. It's such a good, strong paragraph. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Eden C. And Reva G., you'll be our last share for today. Please go ahead.
This is Reva G. in Brooklyn. This paragraph applies to every single addiction, and it tells us what happens to every addict under the face of the on the earth. What it demonstrates is that we are powerless. It's not just that we say it at the beginning and we confess that we're powerless, but it says this is how you are powerless. You succumb. That means you are overwhelmed. You cannot resist. You have no defense against this. It takes your free will away. It presses you down. So you succumb. This is page 25, Roman numerals, line 3. And then if we go to page 24, if we look at the italics, it says that we cannot remember pain or suffering. There again, we're out of control. This is not a choice. We don't decide to forget anything. We just can't remember pain and suffering. Then on page 37, there's the jaywalker. He races in front of these cars time after time, and he's in pursuit of a thrill. It stimulates him, and if he's in pursuit of the thrill, all he's thinking about is the thrill. He is not remembering any of the pain and suffering again. And at every step, we are powerless, and we are physically powerless. It's not just a weakness in our mind, in our soul. It's that the body is making us forget. And then on page 84, once again, we are still powerless, but we have had a complete psychic change. And now, instead of succumb, we recoil as from a hot flame. And this has happened automatically. Once again, you didn't decide to recoil. It just happens. You had no idea it was going to happen, and you have no idea when it's going to happen. And you recoil. And how many times do we hear each other say, the food doesn't call me anymore? And when I recovered, it was when I realized that this food was always going to call me, and when it called me, I was always going to go. I didn't have a choice. I am powerless. So we start off powerless. We end up powerless. And what happened between succumb and recoil? All the steps happened between. Every single thing we did when we surrendered our will and we decided, like it or not, we're going to do what they tell us to do. And when we do that, time after time after time, we get the same release. We have promises that we're going to have the blessings that we are going to recoil, that the day will come when we are no longer in the grip of this terrible experience where we're out of control through no fault of our own. I personally believe
a reminder.
Okay. I personally believe that this is neurological, and with that I want to close. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Reva G. And thank you everyone who has shared, who's tuned in to listen, and everybody doing service. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164. And will Robin T. please read A Vision for You?
Thanks so much. Thanks, Elaine. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't bought. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.